All right, so you really want to understand the law, like deep down, right?
Yeah.
Especially something as fundamental as the Fifth Amendment.
Right.
Well, today we're going to cut through all the clutter and we're diving right into the heart of it, into one of those key concepts.
Okay.
We're doing a deep dive into a landmark Supreme Court case
Right.
that really clarified a vital aspect of our rights against self-incrimination.
Sounds good.
So think of this as like your express lane to understanding the super foundational principle.
I like it.
What do we got today?
We're going to be looking at Councilman v. Hitchcock.
Okay.
It's an 1892 Supreme Court decision. I know 1892 feels like ancient history, but trust me, this case sets some really important groundwork
Okay.
for how we look at the Fifth Amendment today,
Right.
especially when the government can make someone testify and what kind of immunity they got to offer in return.
Okay.
So basically, it tackles this fundamental question. When can the state actually make you talk, make you testify,
Yep.
even if it might incriminate you,
Right.
without stepping on your constitutional rights?
Interesting.
This case, even though it's old, it still has a big impact on legal arguments even today.
So, I mean, we're talking like late 1800s. Who are we dealing with here?
So at the heart of all this is Charles Councilman.
Okay.
He was like a big shot in the railroad world, a director. And he got caught up in this federal grand jury investigation.
No, boy.
They were looking into whether some folks had broken the Interstate Commerce Act.
Oh.
Councilman, though, he didn't want to play ball.
I see.
He refused to answer some of the grand jury's questions. And he said, nope, Fifth Amendment, right against self-incrimination.
Right.
But the government, they had a counterargument. They said, hold on, we got this law, this statute that we think protects you here.
What did they pull out?
It was Section 860 of the revised statutes.
Okay.
And the idea behind this law was to protect councilman's actual words, what he said directly, from being used against him later on.
So, like, they couldn't just take his testimony and run with it
Exactly.
to convict him, right?
That's the idea.
I see.
So the big legal battle became, was this statute, this limited protection, enough to outweigh Councilman's Fifth Amendment claim? Like, could they actually force him to talk?
Really interesting. So let's walk through this.
Yeah.
Councilman gets subpoenaed.
Right.
He shows up before the grand jury.
He's there.
They start asking questions, and he's like, nope, Fifth Amendment, I'm out.
Exactly.
The government chimes in.
They say, hold it.
We got this law that says your words can't be used against you later.
Right.
So what happens next?
Well, the government's argument was basically, look, Section 860, it takes care of the main concern of the Fifth Amendment. It makes sure your own words can't be used to put you away.
I see.
So, no threat of self-incrimination. You got to talk.
So in their view, that's it.
Right.
Tick. Case closed.
And you know what? The lower courts agreed. They actually found councilmen in contempt of court.
Seriously?
Yeah, for refusing to answer those questions.
Wow. So he's basically told you have to cooperate.
You gotta talk.
So councilman's facing actual legal consequences for asserting his Fifth Amendment rights.
Right.
He obviously thinks the lower courts got it wrong
Of course.
and he wants to fight back.
Yeah.
So he takes this all the way up
Up to the top.
to the Supreme Court.
All the way.
What was the specific legal question that they had to deal with?
The big question for the Supreme Court was, did this limited protection, just preventing the direct use of his testimony, was that enough to overrule his Fifth Amendment right?
I see.
The thing is, that statute, it didn't stop the government from using his testimony to find other incriminating evidence
Oh.
that they could then use against him. So that distinction between directly using his words versus using evidence they got because of what he said,
Yeah.
that became the crux of the whole case.
And the key to the Supreme Court's decision.
Exactly.
So the Supreme Court takes this case on, focusing on this idea of limited immunity.
Yeah.
What did they ultimately decide? Was it enough protection under the Fifth Amendment?
It went down to the wire, but in a 7-2 vote,
Okay.
Supreme Court sided with councilmen.
They did.
They said that protection offered by Section 860, which only prevented the direct use of his words,
Yeah.
it wasn't enough to protect his Fifth Amendment rights.
So this wasn't just like a legal technicality.
No.
This decision really dug deep into what the Fifth Amendment means,
Absolutely.
especially when someone's forced to testify.
They took a very broad view of the Fifth Amendment's protection, and they made it clear The privilege against self-incrimination
is
not just about protecting you during your own trial.
Right.
It covers any situation where you're forced to say something that could lead to charges against you.
So even if the government promised, we won't use your exact words in court.
Right.
But if those words give them clues, lead to documents or witnesses.
Yeah.
That's still a violation of your Fifth Amendment rights.
That's what the court said.
I see.
And that's exactly where Section 860 fell short.
It didn't cover that.
It didn't stop the government from using Castleman's testimony as a starting point.
Yeah.
To find what we call derivative evidence.
Okay.
This could be things like documents they didn't know about,
mm-hmm.
or names of other people who might have incriminating information, even new avenues to investigate.
So they saw this as a big loophole.
It basically undermined the whole point of the Fifth Amendment.
That distinction between direct and derivative use is so important.
Absolutely crucial to understand this whole case.
So if the court said that wasn't enough, what standard did they say was necessary?
Well, this is where we get this concept of transactional immunity.
Okay.
The Supreme Court basically said, if the government wants to force someone to testify.
Yeah.
And that person is claiming their Fifth Amendment rights.
Right.
The immunity they offer has to be total blanket protection.
No loopholes.
It has to say, you testify truthfully.
And you're completely immune.
From prosecution for anything related to your testimony.
So it's not just, we won't use your words.
Yeah.
It's, we can't touch you for anything connected to this.
That's right.
That seems like a tough standard.
It is.
For the government to meet.
And Justice Blatchford, he wrote the majority opinion.
Yeah.
And he really emphasized this point.
What is he?
He said, and this is a famous quote, no statute which leaves the witness subject to prosecution after he answers the criminating questions put to him can have the effect of supplanting the privilege conferred by the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
So basically, you can't force someone to incriminate themselves, even indirectly.
That's the idea.
The court was really trying to prevent the government from sidestepping the Fifth Amendment.
They wanted to make sure its protections couldn't be weakened.
So it sounds like they were drawing a clear line.
Yeah.
Saying the immunity has to be as strong as the right it's trying to replace.
Exactly. The court said for an immunity law to be constitutional.
Yeah.
It has to be coextensive.
Coextensive.
That's a legal term.
Yeah.
It basically means the protection from the immunity.
Yeah.
Has to be just as broad as the Fifth Amendment right itself.
So no gaps.
No loopholes.
The government can't use your words against you, even indirectly.
Exactly.
So Councilman establishes this big, strong standard of transactional immunity.
Right.
What was the immediate impact of this decision?
It was pretty big. It basically raised the bar for anyone trying to force someone to testify.
I see.
Especially if that person was claiming their Fifth Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
The government usually had to offer this really broad transactional immunity.
Okay.
Meaning they couldn't be prosecuted for anything related to their testimony.
That could make investigations pretty tough.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't prosecute based on what they say.
Exactly.
But you mentioned there was a later case, Castigar v. United States.
Right.
That seemed to change things a bit.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So councilmen set this high bar for immunity.
Yeah.
But a few decades later, the Supreme Court took another look at this whole thing.
Okay.
In 1972, in the Castigar case.
Okay.
And in Castigar, they came up with a slightly different standard.
What was it called?
It's called use and derivative use immunity.
So what's the difference between that and the transactional immunity from councilmen?
Well, with use and derivative use immunity, the prosecutor can force someone to testify.
Yeah.
By promising that their testimony and anything they find because of it.
Right.
Won't be used against them in a trial.
Okay.
But here's the catch.
What's the catch?
If the prosecution can show they got evidence from a completely separate source.
I see.
They can still go after you.
Even if your testimony was about the same stuff.
Even then.
So it's not as complete a protection as transactional immunity.
Right.
The government can't use your words directly or indirectly.
Right.
But if they have their own separate case against you,
yeah.
they can still come after you.
They can.
So Castigar basically relaxed that strict standard from councilmen a little bit.
I did.
Now the burden is on the prosecution to prove they got their evidence independently.
Exactly.
Which is not always easy.
Right.
But even with this change, is councilmen still important today?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Even though Castigar changed the specifics of immunity,
yeah.
the main principle from councilmen is still super relevant.
I see.
Councilmen set the standard. Any law about immunity.
Yeah.
It has to be as broad as the Fifth Amendment right it's trying to replace.
Okay.
It showed that the protection against self-incrimination is not just a technicality.
Yeah.
It requires real, solid safeguards for the individual.
Even though the mechanics changed with Castigar.
Right.
Councilman laid the groundwork for how we see the Fifth Amendment today.
It did.
So for all the law students out there, what are the big takeaways?
The most important thing is to understand the difference between transactional immunity.
Yeah.
That broad protection from councilmen and use and derivative use immunity, which is more limited and came from Castigar.
Okay.
Also remember, the Fifth Amendment is really broad.
Right.
It's not just about confessing to a crime. It's about anything you say that could lead to charges against you.
Directly or indirectly.
Yeah, exactly.
And remember that core principle from Councilman. Any law about immunity.
Yeah.
To be constitutional, it has to totally shut down any chance of you getting in trouble for what you say.
It can't leave any doors open.
So Councilman is like this foundational case.
Yeah.
It shows how important the Fifth Amendment's protection against self-incrimination really is.
It does.
It set a really high bar for what counts as real immunity.
It did.
And even with the changes from Castigar,
right,
those core principles from Councilman are still essential.
They are.
For understanding this whole area of constitutional law.
Absolutely.
It all comes down to this balance.
Well, balance is that.
The government needs information to do its job.
To enforce the law, investigate.
Exactly.
Right.
But individuals have this fundamental right not to be forced to incriminate themselves.
A very delicate balance.
So how do these different immunity standards try to balance those things?
Yeah.
It's a question with big implications.
For our whole legal system, really.
Look how it works.
And for protecting individual liberties.
Especially in today's world.
Yeah.
This stuff is crucial to think about.
It is.
As you keep studying constitutional law,
mm,
and as you think about advocating for your clients,
right,
understanding the basic principles from landmark cases like Councilman,
absolutely,
it's essential for navigating the legal world
now and in the future.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.